I want us to read Psalm 138 today. We're going to talk about thanksgiving a little bit. We're going to look at David's perspective of thanksgiving. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Father, thank you for your word. I pray today that you'd convince our hearts that thanksgiving is not a holiday. It is a characteristic of a true believer always, every week of the year, every day. May it be true of all of us in this room today. We give you thanks today, God, because it is your will and because you are good and because you are awesome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you have had some form of celebration of Thanksgiving at the end of this week. Perhaps it has been the gathering of family, maybe even extended family. Certainly, everybody has eaten your share of food and whatever that may be and whatever your traditions are. But I have to tell you today that as quick as a hiccup, you put the leftovers away. Some of you started getting out the Christmas tree before you even finished digesting your food. For some of you, Bing Crosby's sweet melodies are already playing throughout your household. Some of you have no idea who Bing Crosby is. Perhaps you've climbed ladders and started hanging lights on the house, putting lights on the tree. And of course, what would Thanksgiving be without Black Friday Christmas shopping? But listen, before we get too far removed from the 24 hours of Thanksgiving, I want us to go back there for just a minute. I want us to backtrack for just about 40, 45 minutes today to take a look at a biblical model of Thanksgiving. I think it's important to do it after the holiday so that we can slow ourselves down a bit before we get too caught up in the holidays to precede us. You know, before George Washington ever declared this a national holiday, before the Puritans had hardly laid down their cornucopia before the Native Americans, the authors of the Bible had identified gratitude, this giving of thanks, as a major mark of one who has truly been born again. A genuine Christian offers a stream of thanksgiving. The expressing of thankfulness to God is naturally characteristic of the saved life. In other words, if you claim to be a Christian, if you say you've been born again, if God has regenerated you and transformed you because of faith in Jesus Christ and the work that he's done on the cross by dying a substitutionary death in your place, that ought to generate a genuine thankfulness that flows out of you much more than just gathering around a table one day a year and telling each other how thankful you are for each other. James chapter 1 verse 17, I just want to show you a very quick survey of some of the biblical authors and what they said about thanksgiving. He very definitely alludes to the fact that we should be thankful by saying every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Saying we should give thanks to God. He is the giver of all these wonderful gifts. The writer of Hebrews also tells us that we are to express thanksgiving in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. He says, therefore, let us be thankful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us be grateful continually for what God has done. Most of the time we think of the book of Revelation as being something that's far off in the future. I will tell you that it is for us now. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12. John spurs us on and he says with a mighty loud, thunderous voice. I'll try to do it for you if I can. He says, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and, anybody following me in the Bible? And thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. What was happening? John the Revelator had gotten this incredible picture of who Jesus Christ is. And he says, because of that, our lives should be bowed down constantly before him, saying, to you all might and power and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, glory always be given to you. And then you couldn't look at a rundown of the biblical authors talking about thanksgiving without coming to the Apostle Paul, who constantly is just gushing out his commands to us to give thanks to God always and in everything. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, for this is the will of God for you. What is the will of God for you? To give thanks. Always. Always. Do you consistently give thanks to God? I'm not asking if you think that God knows that you are thankful. Those are two different things. Do you, on a regular basis, offer up your thanks, your thanksgiving, your gratitude to God? Do you stop in the middle of your comings and goings, of your busy life? Do you stop and recognize that God is the giver of all things? To be Christian, you must practice thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude to God. But I suppose that of all the biblical writers, none was more consistent in his giving of thanks to God than David, the king of Israel. So we're going to take one of his psalms, Psalm 138, which we read just a few minutes ago, and I want us to learn this morning from David how we can be more consistent in our thankfulness. Would you say of yourself today that you could use a little more consistency A little more gratefulness in heart. A little more regular giving of thanks to God. The first thing I want you to see this morning from David in his life of giving thanks is the determination of thanksgiving. The determination of thanksgiving. I don't know if you realize this or not, but most of David's psalms are written under duress. He's stressed. There's plenty of things that are going on in David's life. Things from the outside that have been caused by other people. And let's just face it, things that have been caused by himself. Oh, don't stare down the barrel of Psalm 138 today at David with a self-righteous attitude. Amen? We've all caused a lot of stupidity, craziness to come into our own lives because of, let's face it, the dumb things that we have done. He was tested, David was. He was tried. The circumstances were not always in his favor. In fact, they were rarely in his favor. Enemies of Israel constantly challenged him from the outside. Family members, his own flesh and blood, were coming after him and betraying him from the inside. David seemed to be on this constant roller coaster of living for God, walking with God. Yet, David was always seemingly determined, unwavered, dogged in his giving of thanks to God. He had made up his mind that regardless what comes, whatever was going to come his way on this particular day, and you and I know that life changes like the weather did from yesterday to today. Life changes like that quickly. And for all of us, we've got to make a determination. No matter what happens to me, I know what's going to happen in me, and I'm going to make something come from me and go to God in thankfulness. David was determined. I don't know about you. I think I probably do. But I'll just say, I know for me, I could use a big old dose of this determination, of being determined, of being resolved in mind and heart that whatever happens to Andy, whatever happens to the Taylor family today, tomorrow, the next day, to be thankful, to look to God, and to express my thankfulness. Let's look at David's determination to be thankful. We're going to look at three things under this first subheading of determination. First of all, I want you to see that his determination was personal. This was a personal issue for David. Look at Psalm 138 again. In just the first two verses, you're going to see this, that he uses the personal pronoun I three times, and all three times he uses it, it is emphatic. In other words, when David is writing this, if he were to have been saying it out loud, he would have been pointing at himself in the chest. He says, I give you thanks, O Lord. Before the gods, I sing your praise. Verse 2, I bow down toward your holy temple. I give thanks. I sing praise. I bow down. David made it personal. It was his own personal responsibility to be determined to give thanks to God. And the reason why is because he made it so personal for him is because God had been personal with him. God ever been personal with you? Is God personal to you? Is He my Savior? Is he your Savior today? Has God spoken to your heart? Has he opened your eyes? Has he drawn you to himself? Has he given you his grace? Is there a reason today for you to be personally thankful? Listen, if your answer to that is no today, then let me introduce you to Jesus. Because in Jesus, there is a world of reasons to be thankful today. A whole universe that causes us to explode from our hearts, through our mouths and our lives, to be thankful for what God has done. David was very personal. You know why? Because God had been with David when David had gone up against the lion. When David had gone up against the bear. When David had gone up against Goliath. When David was facing his enemies. When David had been betrayed by Saul. When David had been betrayed by Absalom. Even in David's own sinfulness. At the murder of Uriah. At the adultery with Bathsheba. Even there, God was continuing to be personal to David. So David made it personal to give thanks back to God. Oh, listen, friends, you can look at David's life and you can know whether you are presumably walking in victory today or you are crawling to God on your knees, pleading for forgiveness. Yet, once again, God is good. God is loving and God is kind. You see in these verses later, his loving kindness endures forever. And David made it personal for him to give thanks back to God. Can't be someone else's thanks that you're riding on. Can't be grandma's thanks or mom's thanks or the church's thankfulness to God for what he has done. This has got to be personal. It's got to be deep in your heart. It's got to come up from the depths of knowing who you are. That on my own, I stand before God as a sinful human being, not deserving any of his grace. But oh, the great riches of God's love when he sent Christ his son. When God came, when God became personal to us. David said, it's got to come from your mind. It's got to come from your mouth. It's got to come from your life. Did you see what he says in verse 1? I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, faith in Christ is personal. Giving praise to God is personal. And so too, thanking God must be personal. Giving thanks must be personal. But you have to determine to make this thanksgiving a personal issue by constantly looking at your own life, examining yourself, seeing the love of God for you and your need for him. I want you to see, not only is it personal for David, though, this determination to give thanks, but it goes public. Did you see this? It was personal, but it was not private. Do you understand the difference? It was very personal to him, but the thanksgiving that began to bubble up in his heart, that began to overflow out of his life, while it was very personal to him, because God had been very personal to him, David could not keep it private. It did not stay within the confines of the king's quarters in the castle. Thanksgiving always eventually goes public. Do you see what it says here? He says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. before the gods, I sing your praise. Most likely what David is referring to here is that there were pagan gods that were being worshipped, even in Israel, even in Jerusalem. Wherever David was interacting with people, wherever David was out and about, there were pagan gods that were being worshipped. It may even be a reference to those who are mentioned later in verses 4 and 5 of all the kings of the earth. Many times the kings would declare themselves to be deities, to be gods. But this didn't deter David. It didn't keep him from going public with his thankfulness. Do you see him? He says, before the gods, I sing your praises, Lord. He was determined to let the truth be known. Listen, the expression of thanksgiving, when you begin to give thanks to God, and I'm just going to say it out loud. When you begin to thank God even out loud around other people, it actually begins to build a boldness. It actually begins to develop the quality of boldness in us. Listen to what he says in verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. Another way of saying that is, you made me bold deep down in my soul. Why? Because David was giving thanks publicly. Now you might say, now wait a second. That verse 3 there, wait a minute. I mean, there's been lots of times I've prayed for things for a long time. David said, on the day I called, you answered me. Well, that doesn't mean that on the day that David called out to the Lord that God said yes. You probably heard it said before, and it's absolutely true. That any time we pray, God has one of three answers. He says yes, he says no, he says wait. He says wait. But just the very fact that David was going before the Lord in prayer and offering his thanks in public as well was increasing his boldness. You know what the truth is that thanksgiving, the giving of gratitude to God in public, is a tremendous Christian apologetic. Here's what I mean by that. It is an incredible witness wherever you are to give thanks to God. To say, in your workplace, at school, in your family, wherever you are, if anything happens, if anything is worthy of praise, to give thanks to God for it. It's a very simple act, and yet it's a tremendous witness. Many of you would say, you know, I'm not very confident in witnessing at all. I would ask you to raise your hands if you said, I'm not very confident witnessing. But if we're honest, we'd all raise our hands. But have you noticed how many times it's easier to be thankful out loud to God? Thankful for what God has done? Well, I thank God for his faithfulness to me. I thank God for his goodness. I'm thankful that God has saved me. We can be thankful in public, and it builds our confidence to witness. David certainly went public with his thankfulness. It was personal, it was public, but I want you to see the last. It was not prideful. It was not prideful at all. Do you see what he says in verse 2? I bow down toward your holy temple. I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. David's expression is not haughty at all. He's not competing with God. Realize who this is. This is David, the king of Israel, the leader of all of God's people. This is David, the one when he came back from battle that people came on the parade and they would lay down their cloaks on the ground and they were waving their palm branches and they were saying, Saul killed his thousands, but David, his tens of thousands. The people hailed David. They thought David was incredible. I mean, our presidential elections would have nothing on David. His would be a landslide. People love David so much that many times it may have even thought to be a little bit competitive of who was getting all the glory here. Was it David or was it God? I want you to see what David does because it's incredible. One way for you to avoid pride while giving thanks to God is to focus upon who God is. Now listen to me very carefully here. Okay, very carefully, because a lot of times I say things and people walk out and say stuff that they think that I said. Okay? It is good to give thanks for what God has done for you. And there's never a time when that's wrong. But I want you to see that David didn't focus on what God had done for him. He was thankful for who God is. And there is a difference. Look at verse 2. He says, I bow down toward your holy temple. I give thanks to your name for your steadfast love, for your faithfulness. You see, he is giving thanks to God for his attributes, for his qualities, for who God is. Because when we thank God for who he is, it puts it in perspective who we are. Let me see if you agree with me on this. I love it when I see during a football game or some kind of athletic event, when a player will give thanks to God. It's awesome. It's fantastic. But have you ever come away with that sometimes? Or maybe it's in some other setting where someone gives, I just want to thank God for giving me the ability. And you begin to think, wait a minute. Is he bragging on God or is he bragging on himself here? And he's just cloaking it in kind of a God talk. Hello. But when we turn our thankfulness into something, not what God has done for us, but who he is, there's no arguing it. And it puts all the emphasis back on the good heart, the great quality of God. So, let me just say this. This is another great reason for you to study theology. Because in studying who God is, you begin to know his attributes, his qualities, all of the wonderful things that make up the personality of God. And then in knowing that, it is almost like praying back the names of God. When you give thanks to God for who he is, yes, and even for what he has done, it reminds you that this is not about you. It is about him. Oh, we need to be thankful for who God is. Personally, publicly, humbly. And that's how we need to determine to be thankful. Two more points very quickly. Second, I want you to look not only at the determination of thanksgiving, but I want you to look at the development of thanksgiving. Verses 4 through 6 say, all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord. I want to go back and read the verse again. I want you to look at the tenses of the verbs. You didn't know you're going to get English class today, right? But this is very important. Look at this. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks. What tense is that? Future. Thank you. Yes, future. It will happen. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard. What tense? Past. All right? For they have heard the words of your mouth. He doesn't say, they will give you thanks, O Lord, because they will at some point hear your word. No, he says, they already have heard your word. Verse 5, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord future, right? For great is the glory of the Lord. Present tense, right now, God's glory is great because it always has been, it always will be, and it is right now. This is pretty interesting that he would word this way. You see, once David had made this business of giving thanks personal to himself, that he would take the first responsibility to express his gratitude to God, it was going to become infectious. It was going to reach out to others. It would spread, but not only in Israel, but among all of the peers, the people that he talked with, those that he was around, that he associated with, and that was the other kings of other nations even. David says that because he had given thanks, because he had expressed his thankfulness to God in front of these other kings, that he had shown the glory of the Lord in his words and in his demonstration before the feet of other rulers, other kings that he had been around, that one day he prayed that by his own thankfulness that he would give, that it would even influence other nations. Do you see the power of being thankful? Do you see what David is saying, that the power of being thankful does? It's not only powerful in your own life, and by the way, there's even studies that show that being thankful is good for your health. Now, that's one thing that ought to, you know, help you out a little bit. And by the way, I'm kind of wondering about some of y'all's thankfulness. Don't worry, I ended up in the emergency room this week with a kidney stone again. And man, let me tell you what, I got real thankful when the medicine kicked in. Right? We should be thankful at all times. And when we are thankful and we do it because it's personal and we make it public, it begins to influence other people. It changes us. Our thankfulness to God changes us, but it also begins to change other people. It's a witness. And that's what David was saying. It was developing. It was moving. It was progressing. I love what he says in verse 6. Though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. David, although he was a king, he never forgot who he was. He didn't forget where he came from. He didn't forget his own spiritual frailty. He didn't forget that one day that even in the book of Acts, it would say that David would sleep with his fathers, and though yet he is dead, he still speaks. He would never forget that, but I want you to hear, he would not let others forget it either. He would not let other people who he was around, whom he could influence, who he had words with, who he had an audience with, he would never let them forget that this was all about God, and God was to be thanked. So let me encourage you today. You may say, I'm not really a good spreader of the gospel. I don't share my faith a lot. Well, let me just say, change that. You can change that. But in the meantime, begin to thank God. Begin to thank him out loud. Begin to thank God for who he is, for what he has done in front of other people. in front of your realm of influence. Start in your family. Start in your home. Develop an atmosphere of thankfulness in your own home, and then let it expand out to your school, to your classroom, to your friends, to your coworkers, to the people that you're around, to your rotten uncle. Don't point. To that hard-headed relative that you know that you're going to see at Christmas, but you don't want to. Don't act so hyper-spiritual with me this morning. Be determined now to let thankfulness develop even in them by you expressing your thankfulness to God. You keep thanking God. You keep exalting His qualities and His attributes, and watch people around you start doing the same. Well, the determination of thanksgiving and the development of thanksgiving. But finally, I want you to see David this morning, the delight of thanksgiving. You know, I think David enjoyed giving thanks. Listen, here's why I say that. Because sometimes it looks to me that we in the church often give thanks and it's painful. I'll take that as an amen. Sometimes it looks like that. Sometimes we give thanks to the Lord and it almost looks like it hurt to come out. I think David got a kick out of doing it. I think he enjoyed it. I think it thrilled his heart to be able to give thanks to God. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but it's much more delightful to give thanks than it is to grumble. It'll warm your heart a whole lot more. See, sometimes we, as sinful Christians, and I'm talking to me, I'm talking to all of us, sometimes we can think that we're going to feel better by grumbling, by talking down, by speaking bad about somebody else or something else, either at our work or at our family, or even our church. We can think that we're going to feel a little bit better if I just get this out, this thing I got on my chest. You know why they call it grumble, right? This is what it sounds like. Nothing kills spiritual vitality in an individual Christian quicker than grumbling, than forsaking thanksgiving. Nothing kills the spiritual atmosphere of a church, a congregation, more quickly than focusing upon what is negative. David wouldn't do it. See, David recognized that there was always going to be, and it was always going to be something in his life, in Israel, in the people of God, that could be complained about. Look what he says in verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. And by the way, when David says that, he says it with the idea that he is constantly walking in the midst of trouble. Anybody? Anybody. That there is always something. That's what David is saying. There's always something that's going on. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, God, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand. Your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Oh, your steadfast love, oh Lord, it endures forever. You can almost hear David as you're reading this. You can almost see him getting fired up as he's writing it. David recognized that there's always going to be things in life that he doesn't like, even situations within the kingdom, even among God's people. Yet David kept focusing upon the goodness of God. He says, you, God, even in the midst of all of that, you preserve my life. It's literally the Hebrew word means revive me. Our staff, about a week ago, we did CPR training. So y'all are in good hands now if something happens. I mean, we can do chest compressions with the best of them now. But you know, when we lose our thankfulness, it's like a man whose heart doesn't beat anymore. It's like a person who can't breathe anymore. But just the act of giving thanks kickstarts the heart again. We also, in the church, we just recently bought, a few sets of those, what do you call those things? Yeah, you know, I call them shockers. You just put them on people, you know, if they go down, and you just clear, you know, hit the battery. Spiritually, there is nothing that will restart your heart for the Lord like being determined to just give thanks. Just be thankful. It might be a slow, little, bitty, tiny heartbeat, you know, the line. For some of us, the line's gone. You want to know how long I can do it? But if you would just open your heart and your mouth and just thank God for who He is. Thank Him today for being my Savior. Just thank Him. Some of you need a revival. We all need a revival. Our church needs a revival. Your preacher needs a revival. Your staff needs a revival. Start by giving thanks. This is what David says. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You shock me back to life. Because I've given thanks to you, O God. You revived me. God had delivered David, and God still delivers us. He delivers us from our sin. He delivers us to salvation, and He does it through the King of Kings. The Son of God has come. God sent His only Son that He might come, that He might take our sin, the penalty of our sin, and He pinned it to a wooden cross. He died a death that you and I deserve so that we might be brought back to life. Oh, what else do you have to be thankful for today? Well, if you've got nothing else, then there you go. He is Savior. When the winter sets in upon your heart, when the fire of your Christian devotion begins to flicker, when your prayers fall flat and your spiritual get up has fallen down, just open your mouth and give thanks. Thank Him for who He is. Choose an attribute and thank Him for it. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His lasting, everlasting love. Thank Him for every quality that you can think. Thank Him for His sovereignty. Thank Him for His salvation. Thank Him for His patience. Thank Him for His endurance. Thank Him for that He's omniscient and knows everything about you. Thank Him that He is here with you. And when you're there, He's there with you. Thank God constantly. Let the thanks of God come out of your mouth. Because Paul says, this is the will of God for you, that you would give thanks. Oh, it's like God just doing chest compressions to bring you back to life. Oh, how we should give thanks to God for who He is and what He's done until a revival breaks out in the church. Let's give thanks. David was confident. Look what he says in verse 8. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. What is His purpose for you? That your entire life would be filled with thanksgiving. All right, I have got a litany of Bible verses to go through. I'm not going to read them all today. But I will tell them to you if you want to write them down. Some of you are getting your pencil out. Listen, He wants your entire life to be filled with thanksgiving. He wants your talk to be filled with thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. He wants your walk to be filled with thanksgiving. I already read Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Also look at Colossians 2, 7. He says that for the church, we should give thanks. Imagine that. Anybody thought of that, lady? Give thanks for the people of God. He even says in prayer in Colossians 4, 2, that we should give thanks. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, I've already told you, I've read this to you, that in all things, in everything, he says, God says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Well, don't let the Thanksgiving time just be a holiday that's late in November. I think we run past it pretty quick. We get wrapped up in all the trappings of Christmas that's coming upon us. But let Thanksgiving mark your life. Let it be a characteristic of who you are. Let people talk about you. And when they talk about you, say, man, that guy just thankful for everything. I'm sick of him being thankful for everything. When you come to the end of your life, would you have a preacher that would stand in a pulpit like this and say of you, wow, so thankful. They were such a thankful person. Be determined to give thanks. Allowing thanksgiving to develop through your life to other people. And just have a blast delighting in who God is and what he's done. Let's pray together today. God, to you we give thanks, for you are good. Your loving kindness endures forever. Help us to be a thankful people. Help us to be a people who honors you with our mouth, with our lips, with our walk, in our marriages, in our families, at school, at work, when we rise up, when we lay down, in all that we do, giving thanks to you, for we know that it is your will for us. Help us to give thanks. Even as we leave this place today and begin to walk out, God, let us with other brothers and sisters in Christ be thankful for you, for who you are.